You're listening to the OMFIF podcast, the show that explores the latest insights and discussions on global finance, economics, and policy for people who love staying informed about the rapidly evolving landscape of the financial world. Join us as we break down complex topics, interview key thought leaders, and provide essential insights to keep you informed about the evolving world of finance.
Hello and welcome to another podcast from OMFIF's Sovereign Debt Institute. I'm Berhan Kadbai, Head of Content at the Sovereign Debt Institute, and I'm delighted today to be joined by Stefan Nanu, Head of Public Debt Management and State Treasury at the Ministry of Finance of Romania. During this podcast, we'll be talking about Romania's recent debut green bond and the key features of its green framework and transition plan, and a look at what's ahead with its green issuance. Firstly, thank you, Stefan, for joining me. I think a good place to start is by asking why Romania decided to issue a green bond. It might sound an obvious question, but every issuer and DMO has their own specific reasons and strategy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Wuhan. So, I think there are multiple factors that basically pushed us into, let's say, joining the sovereign issuers, the sovereign green bond issuers. First of all, of course, in the area, and not only in the area, but you know, generally globally, debt managers moved toward these ESG featured bonds, since of course there are clear ambitions at the government level in basically most of the countries, if not all the countries, to set up clear goals, targets related to the emissions reductions, to the issues that are, let's say, tackling with the climate change, the effects of the climate change, and so on and so forth. Romania is an EU country, of course, has very clear ambitions that are aligned with European goals. And it has specific targets and strategies. Each of the European Union countries have a long-term strategy related to the emission reductions. And we have also ours that by 2031, we are phasing out the coal. Also by 2050, we are reducing by 90%, if I'm not mistaken, the emission, the carbon emissions from the 1990s levels. So there are all these made us to, of course, are, you know, all those are translated into policies and strategies with clear objectives. Therefore, we believed, like, you know, many other issuers in EU, that it is time to consider issuing ESG bonds, since there are multiple projects and many projects and many European funds aligned to support these objectives. And for example, in RRF, the Resilience and Recovery Facility, basically about 40, close to 45% of all projects and reforms are related to green, to the climate change mitigation. And therefore, we know that there are a lot of budgetary expenses that might be might be used for our projects, and we might allocate green bonds proceeds to them. And of course, there is another important factor for us, which is like a day by day and year by year factor that leads us to diversify the instrument, which is the investor-based diversification. We are trying to diversify into new areas, new investors, to unleash maybe some existing investors' portfolios that cannot be basically used for Romania's exposure because we are not issuing ESG. Thirdly, we've got a lot of requests, and we saw how big would be the demand if we will be considering such of instruments. Like, in virtually any single interaction with investors, we had requests or questions: when are you going to issue? Why I'm not considering? Romania is anyway placed well on the ESG, so you should consider it, and so on and so forth. So all these factors together basically put us in were like leading us into hiring and considering creating the green bond framework first. And we went through the whole process starting last year. We discussed with the World Bank to have them on board as our advisor because we wanted from the beginning to have the best standards in the framework. And we actually praised a lot the World Bank TA on any single steps we did in creating the governance, the proper governance and the framework. And we knew that we are embarking to a cumbersome and long time-consuming process, time-consuming process. And we started discussions with various line ministries to understand, first of all, the size of the projects, the number of the eligible expenses we might have on the table, in order to assess a bit kind of pre-feasibility study to see how many eligible categories of eligible expenses we would have, how ambitious we could be in terms of green shade, and what would be the scale. What would be the scale of potential issuance? Because it's very important to see what would be the frequency you could aim for in issuing the green bonds. Because once you are rolling this this ball, it's hard to stop it, and there will be demand, there will be expectations, and there will be expectations not only from the investors, but this is a very hot topic and very, I would say, appreciated by the by everyone in the country, from the political scene to the various stakeholders, academia, the other potential green bond issuers from the municipalities, local government levels, corporations, and so on. So we are like a trendsetter here. Everyone was expecting the sovereign to do this step, and when we understood that we could have a decent size and we could aim for being a frequent issuer, then we started building up all the elements. And of course, we created the proper governance. We created an interministerial committee. We provided specific responsibility to this committee according to best practices. We then started to discuss with the with those line ministries specifically, which was a very cumbersome work, going from a ministry to another and discussing on the portfolio they have in the past, what are they aiming for the future, what kind of expenses they have, which do not have any other funding behind the general consolidated budget, because that's a very important principle. You have to avoid duplication of funding. And of course, everyone knows that these ESG type of projects, the green projects, are chased by EU funds for a new country, are chased by international financial institutions that are important financiers in countries like Romania, like European Investment Bank or CEB or other entities. So we put together a pretty nice portfolio of projects. We started to work on the framework itself. We finalized it, and then we also hired a second party opinion provider, in our case it's Standard and Poor's, and we started the work with them actually last year, if I'm not mistaken, in sometimes in September. We started the work, yeah, end September, early October, and we went through the process again, a very time-consuming process with a lot of interactions in which we had to involve the line ministries as well, because there were many technical issues. It was a learning curve for us as well. I mean, it's we cannot pretend that we know much in the ESG area in terms of like indicators, trying also to figure out in the future what would be the indicators that should be could be reported and so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you, Stefan, what sort of took so long? Because I think this has been in the works for a long time, and I think you've answered that. You know, it's aligning different ministries. It's a whole new learning curve because obviously it's your first issuance in this ESG format. So I think you've answered that in terms of what took so long, and you obviously wanted to get it right. And there was obviously on the demand side that was always there. I remember we hosted a here at OMFIF a private round table with yourself and a couple of investors, and it was quite clear from that point that there was a lot of demand in your in green issuance by Romania. And you mentioned it about the framework. I guess another important part of what terms of you know in terms of what took so long was getting the framework right. I think that was important, right? Could you sort of give us a quick rundown of the key features of that? You mentioned the World Bank assistance, which you know was very important in getting the framework right, and the second party opinion. But perhaps you can just give us a quick rundown of the key features of the framework. And the transition plan, because there's quite a clear transition plan in this framework with Romania, and some of them maybe just give us highlight some of the projects you know your green issuance will finance as well.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yes, I think it was clear that actually we had two alternatives and worked it out for the second one. First was to come with a very thorough and inclusive framework, like a sustainable bond framework, and to include we included in the interministerial committee also the social line ministries, like Ministry of Health, Ministry of Labor, Ministry of Education and so on for, and so forth. But we realized that those on those social area, we first of all we didn't have a very clear picture of the project and you know of the eligible expenses, and then we realized that it's a much well let's say more concrete requirement and much obvious in all the strategic documents related to the green area, and we decided to go with the green bond frame. So to basically to focus it a bit with the idea to expand it later on when we will have more let's say inputs and more clarity in the social sectors. Therefore, for the green bond framework, we realized that actually most of the projects are within the area of five line ministries, Ministry of Energy, Ministry of Development, Regional Development, Ministry of Transportation, Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Environment. So we tried to be as inclusive as possible. So despite the fact that in some potential categories of eligible expenses, there were some risks embedded there. And we faced a lot of challenges from the SNP later on when we started the SPO process. But we wanted to show that actually, yeah, Romania has a particular case. And it is important in Romania, for example, the transitioning from gas to hydrogen. We have to admit that we have this transitioning. So there are some risks embedded there, but that transitioning is very important for Romania. And therefore, although, for example, the energy efficiency category of expenses is considered light green, according to S&P, capturing some risk in it. And also, in terms of scale of the project, is just, I think, about 7% of the total potential projects are within that, the 6-7% are within that category. We wanted to keep it to show that that's important for Romania and to show to the investors that there will be achievements from that perspective of transitioning from gas to hydrogen, for example. Then we most of the projects I would say are staying within the two categories that were considered green, dark green. This is clean transportation, which is a chapter very important under the RRF, where we have a lot of projects into the electric railways, you know, the motorway, the metro, basically building up the metro network in the or expanding the metro network in Bucharest and building up the metro network in Cluj-Napoca. Very important projects in within the RRF, very sizable ones. So about 46% of the total potential eligible expenses are within the clean transportation that are considered dark green. Then we have a lot of projects in the regional and local government area where a lot of EU funds are channeled and where we face a lot of natural disasters challenges. For example, there are areas that are affected by floods in Romania. Also, the droughts in the hot summers is something that causes a lot of losses to farmers and also a lot of issues in agriculture. Therefore, irrigation projects are a large part of the potential projects to be to get allocations from the green bond proceeds. Also, the sustainable water management and waste management are the areas where the local government's needs are high. They have EU funds, but they have also their own contributions, and there are a lot of expenses coming from the budget to cover to support those areas. There are some programs, national programs related to the local governments that benefit by benefit are benefiting of a lot of budgetary funds, and we also supported those projects.
Thank you, Stefan. Yeah, that's a really good overview of the framework and the projects. Talking about the deal itself, it looked like a really good result, a really great result, actually, a 2 billion 12-year bond that I think set a number of records, including the largest euro-denominated green bond by an emerging market issuer, as well as being Romania's largest transaction in the international bond markets. Are there any other records I'm missing there? And you must be quite pleased with that, with the outcome of the transaction as well.
Yes, that's actually that transaction proved that you know how long and what was the demand out there, you know, when it came our first inaugural green bond. It was the most successful Eurobond deal for Romania so far, and that's proven by a number of records we achieved with these transactions. Just to enumerate several of them. So first of all, although we did many even triple tranche Eurobonds, this was the largest ever deal for Romania. It was the largest ever order book for Romania. It was the joint largest ever CE Euro deal. It was the largest ever emerging markets Euro green tranche. It was the largest ever emerging markets Euro green order book. And it was the largest ever CE order book. And of course, going into something that everyone is trying to assess, let's say the achievements on the greenium, this transaction came with the lowest new issue premium ever for Romania. So, and it was nice that we put it in a transaction in which we had a non-green and a green. We had a 7-year non-green, we had the 12-year green. Well, this deal came after a very impressive dollar deal in two tranches as well. And then we could assess the price benefits. So on the 7-year, we achieved 5 basis points, minus 5 basis points in issue premium. So we issued inside the curve. On the 12-year, it was minus 15. And basically, based on this comparison, we came up with this assessment of the greenium, 10 basis points. And basically, we repriced the euro curve for Romania. We repriced it. It was for the first time when we saw in the moment when we announced the deal, that the curves, the Romanian curve, didn't move as you know it was the case for other deals a bit upwards. So it didn't move at all. And therefore, we realized that we will be able to achieve a greenium. And despite you know the guidance we had during the order book, the building of the order book, so you know we saw larger and larger demand. So we ended up with an order book of more than 16.5 billion euros, out of which more than 10 billion was on the 12-year green tranche. A lot of ESG type of investors. So we asked specifically to the two structuring banks we had, because we appointed two structuring banks in this transaction, HSBC and Citibank. They also helped us a lot in the whole process, including here the process with the SPO and building up the framework. And we asked them to assess the granularity and the quality of the investors in the green tranche. And we saw that basically about 45% of the investors in the 12-year tranche were kind of dark ESG investors. So with very strong ESG, let's say, focus in their investments and policies and so on. We had also, they assessed about kind of 20% also ESG investors, but rather lighter, let's say. So we saw new accounts for us. We saw many like formal, official investors, like central banks, sovereign funds. Very good quality of the investors, and actually many investors called us in the process and to try to get higher allocations. And of course, we rewarded through the allocation principles, first of all, the ESG investors, but also investors that are real money and loyal to Romania as well. We had even the Romanian investors, real money asset managers, that started basically from that transactions to build up green or ESG portfolios. So while they do not have clear ESG mandate, they are that's a beginning for them. So they start to see benefits in showing their in reporting to the investors and to the for example the pensioners that are they are managing money for the pension funds, to show that their investors are going into the green area, into ESG projects, into transitioning, into having a greener Romania, and improving the quality of the soil, of the water, and so on and so forth. So I think there are multiple benefits beyond the financial ones, and beyond those specific to debt management, which were obvious. I think we created now, we raised the bar a lot. So I don't know if we'll be able to achieve the same type of records for the second green. By the way, this transaction looked like was just exceptional.
Yeah, well, I guess that's I'm sure you'll be able to sort of keep those high standards and hopefully more and more records to come. You mentioned there that the greenium, which is quite interesting because in we've been hearing a lot in the FSA world and I guess mainly in sort of Western Europe about a diminishing greenium. So it's quite interesting to see that Romania achieved quite a strong greenium there with the 10 basis point cost benefit. I guess that's a reflection of the demand and the sort of the investors sort of waiting for this transaction. Is was the greenium and is the greenium an important objective, or is it like just like a bonus basically, or is it something important?
Yeah, we try to avoid in all the marketing we did in PR for the framework and for our initiatives of contemplating a green bond. We've tried to avoid discussing too much about greenium, because you don't know exactly if you'll obtain the greenium, if you can really assess the greenium, and therefore I think we put it more into the framework of that, it is a logical step that shows maturity for you as a sovereign debt manager that aligns Romania with other, maybe more sophisticated, more advanced sovereign debt managers. That shows again Romania's commitments to the ESG goals and also for the diversification of the investor base. That we do a lot of other things that's on the sake of business diversification. We are contemplating this year for the first time issuing samurai also for the same sake of diversification. We might consider even placing a green tranche in there because we now we have some Japanese investors asking for a green tranche. We might consider issuing green RomGB, so domestic bonds, because in that way we can build up local currency funding and attract more investors. There is anyway already a big traction from the offshore investors into our domestic market. So we might have benefits also on the consolidating or, tilting down the yield curve or expanding the yield curve in some maturity points where it will be harder without such a appealing instrument. So we spoke more about qualitative issues than about greenium, but we ended up with a very concrete greenium, which of course is a nice to have, a nice situation. But we will never try to say that we will always obtain and then we will have a failure if, for example, at some point we issue a green bond and it will be hard to prove a green.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And I guess that greenium is quite theoretical, and it's as you say, it's sometimes hard to prove, but anyways, a good start anyway to have a solid greenium there for your first issuance. Just looking ahead in terms of your green issuance going forward, could you give us an idea of whether you'll be a regular issuer? Will there be, for example, a new green bond every year, or what's the sort of plan for green issuance going forward in terms of your annual funding program?
Yeah, on this one, we immediately after we ended up the transaction, we closed the transaction. We called for an interministerial committee, first of all, to thank them very much for all their support, then to start already discussions on the allocation and to organize the process and so on. The allocation is at least the same important process as it was the building up the framework, and transaction was quite smoothly and just time-wise was very short, I would say, though very successful. And we did a lot of work that helps us already in the allocation. We have already a huge spreadsheets with all the projects with projects and expenses year by year. Our framework allows us to refinance some of the eligible expenses on a 3 year backward basis, the current year plus 3 year forward looking from the timing of the transaction. And we apply the portfolio based approach for the allocation. For the allocation, we will ask S&P also to provide us their view, their assessment, their opinion on the allocation report, which is also because we wanna show that we are doing everything according to best practices, and we'll do that further on for the impact reporting, which will be the next step after the allocation. So depending on that, and depending on how many instruments, green instruments we want to launch, because now one should be mindful, of course, it is a trade-off between the number of the green instruments we want to deploy and the frequency of the issuance. So I think for us it's more important to be frequent, to be able to issue, let's say, at least yearly, a green instrument. Then, for example, to do large size, because in this 12-year green bond, we were asked if we can consider upsizing. So, and it was very tempting because we knew that we could upsize in very good terms. But on the other hand, that will tie our hands of being able to be a frequent issuer, because 2 billion euros is not a tiny amount, and we need to put allocation for that. If we'll consider maybe a green tranche for the Samurai, of course, that's much smaller, but that's eating up again from the space. If we'll be considering a green domestic, that will be eating, because that will be tapped until we will reach some liquidity, and that will eat up again from then. Then we might end up that we'll not be able to do the next green Eurobond next year if we do too many and in large sizes. So that's why we have this continuous process with the line ministries to assess the potential scale. And if we'll see some limitations, that's why we have then the alternative of expanding the framework into sustainable bond framework, and adding up also those categories of eligible expenses that are not framed as green, but they are good enough for sustainable bond framework. And Romania has a lot of challenges in the social area, as you might know. And we can easily find there some good expenses. It's also, even when we discuss about green eligible expenses, there were few categories. I will name you one. It was about the breeds of some like cow breeds in some regions of Romania that shows the traditional and some very special species, let's say, we have. And where, we are proud about this project in agriculture, there is a lot of traction among the farmers, but it was considered not as a green project by S&P. Then we dropped it, although even the World Bank saw advantages of, but S&P said, look, we don't see anything green in that, so we dropped it. But that's a very clear-cut, good category for the sustainable bond framework. So we might contemplate the expansion of the framework maybe next year, not this year, but maybe next year. And then again, we'll go through the same cumbersome process with, again, building up, expanding the framework, getting the SPO opinion, and so on and so forth. But now, because we entered into this category, we know that it's not reversible, and we should continue it. And we created some expectations.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that was my next question, really, whether you would look at other ESG type products. I know this is at the moment a green bond framework, a strictly green bond framework, but it's good to know that you might, consider expanding it for into a broader sustainable framework. What about products like sustainability linked bonds? Was that something that you looked at, or is that something that you could look at in the future?
We didn't look to that into that. So honestly speaking, and if you see in Europe, there is not much evidence on that. So I think maybe in some other parts of the world, I saw that, in South America, there were a couple of successful deals, like Uruguay, if I'm not mistaken, Chile. Also, on the one hand, it gives you a bit more flexibility because you don't have the same process like in a green bond framework, that you are assessing any single expense and allocate the proceeds. So it gives you more flexibility from the liquidity management viewpoint and the use of proceeds. But on the other hand, it creates this, I would say, very clear correlation with some targets. Even in terms of interest rate costs associated to the interest rate costs associated to these sustainability-linked org bonds, which might create, let's say, some issues. So at this point in time, we are not contemplating into moving to those issuances, but you never know. So we might. Yeah, for example, if we would see Also, investors from our discussions, most of them, they like more the pure, let's say, classical green bonds rather than sustainability bonds, because for them, that's a more comfort that their money are going and are allocated for very specific green projects. For sustainability linked, yeah, it is correlated with the achievement of some targets, but there is no clear correlation between their money and green projects.
Yeah, I think that those are fair points about the sustainability linked bond market. I think it's really good to see Romania do a green bond. We've heard through our workshops, we've hosted, as you know, regional workshops focused on ESG issuance. And yeah, one thing that has come up is from investors is on the need for the CE region to sort of step up with ESG issuance. Just I mean, why do you think the region has been perhaps slower than others to do green and ESG bonds?
I think, honestly speaking, it's not an easy job for a debt manager. And actually, if you ask the debt managers, it's not the, let's say, the instrument they really favor. But we realized that actually it's something that at some point once and you have as in the sovereign debt management area, you have some projects, some reforms you are contemplating too. So for Romania, there were various, I mean, every year we do something, and it's not easy. We are a debt management office that's inside the Ministry of Finance. We have a lot of implications in many areas related to almost any, like we have the government programs for the state schemes, the guarantee, the state guarantee schemes. We have implications. There were these tricky periods with COVID pandemic context. Then it was the war in Ukraine that created the need for supporting the market, supporting. So we've been involved in many areas. And you have to be mindful about the resources. And this is a project that requires a lot of resources, honestly speaking. It requires a lot of resources, a lot of time. We had a devoted team that worked intensively to these projects. Therefore, we took one by one, and this was the time when we consider that's a proper moment to go for it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, it's you can't really undermine the the effort and hard work that is required to set up a green framework. So thank you for that. And thank you, Stefan. We'll leave it there. Congratulations on Romania's debut green bond, and good luck for the year ahead and with your future green issuance. And for our listeners and network, we are delighted to announce that we'll be hosting our inaugural Global Sovereign Debt Forum on June 20th in London. This is a new flagship event by ONFIF Sovereign Debt Institute to convene DMOs from across the CE region, Middle East, Africa, and Asia, along with MDBs and investors. It will be a truly global event, shining a light onto fast advancing and growing economies to discuss ESG issues, but also market conditions. And how sovereigns in the regions are developing their investor bases. Please do check out our website for more details and to register. We already have a number of issuers and DMOs confirmed to attend, including Romania, Ukraine, the Philippines, and others. That's it for me. Many thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the OMFIF podcast. If you found today's conversation engaging, make sure to stay tuned for additional thought-provoking discussions on emerging markets and European government bond markets by subscribing to our channel. Stay connected of the latest developments by following us on our LinkedIn page, OMFIF Sovereign Debt Institute.